June 24th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 41.
From the great Northwest. I'm an Aries. Let's hear for the Aries out there.
Hey, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry.
It is I love the Pop Culture District.
Man, you can't just let it go.
Let's hear it for the Aries.
Yes, all the Aries in the his house. It's episode 41 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Once again, we are here to discuss movies, film, pop culture, cults, anything zombies. We feel like talking. Yes, the undead, sandwiches, whatever we want. When we talk about that, we do it with PCZ Steven.
Hello.
To my left, pop culture zealot Steven. He is filled with useless knowledge, right, Steven?
And remorse for not being on the chat last night.
Yes, it's okay. It's okay. It wasn't meant to be, Steven. It's all right. We also have the Mulberry historian, Mulberry Bill, here. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm okay.
Bill, aren't you filled with useless knowledge also?
I'm filled with something.
Also, we have Vanessa. How are you doing, Vanessa?
I'm splendid. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Now, a number of things have happened this week that I'd like to talk about. And one of those being that Aaron Spelling dropped dead.
My pop culture hero.
Yes, he created such shows as Charlie's Angels, Models, Inc.
Starsky and Hutch.
Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place, and all that stuff. And
did he do Dynasty or Talking Chris?
Yes, Dynasty.
And of course, his greatest creation being Tori Spelling.
Muppet Face.
Yeah, it's like she
may have inherited his millions, but it's gonna be harder to get acting jobs without her dad's help. That's all I'm saying.
didn't he do somebody say Charlie's Angels?
Yes
sir.
Okay, and he did Charmed, wasn't he like the executive?
Yes.
Yes.
And how can you not forget Heart to Heart?
Oh, I love that show.
Can't forget that one.
What was the name of their butler?
It's something like Bosley, but it's not it.
And didn't they have a dog named Freeway? That's
Freeway?
What I remember.
Yeah.
A dog named Freeway. Jeeves. His name was like Gunther or something. I don't remember.
Oh, Benson.
Man. Yeah, no. Benson. Yeah, he was a black dude.
He was a black guy. Worked for the governor.
He had kind
he
of
forgot
salt
the
and pepper hair or something.
Famous Aaron Spelling show of all time.
And
the
what?
Love Boat.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I just remembered that.
Oh, no, Fantasy Island's up there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know what? I can make fun of it all I want, but I watched all those shows.
So did I.
I loved Fantasy Island. That was an awesome show. It wasn't on a submarine. Anyway, Aaron Spelling's dead. God rest your soul.
No more great TVs coming out of this guy.
I wonder if William Shatner will be at his funeral.
I don't know.
Adrian Zemed.
You know, Captain Steubing and his cute daughter, Jill Wieland.
I don't
Biggest
know, man.
Biggest funeral in Hollywood
Isaac.
History, you know?
Cute daughter stretching it on that one.
Dude, she was when I was, like, 9.
she was kind of fugly.
Hey, I'm talking about when I was 9 years old
isn't?
And I hadn't hit puberty yet.
okay.
Tori Spelling,
She has Muppet eyes.
Like Muppet eyes? Well, what so are they, like, plastic she rattles around? There's a little piece of plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
If you painted Aaron Spelling green, he would look like Kermit the Frog.
Ah, yes. All right, guys, I want to talk about something that happened to me this week, and you guys tell me if this has ever happened to you. Now, we've all had flat tires before. You know, it's always inconvenient. This week, I had a flat tire on the freeway with my 2-year-old daughter in the car. It really sucked ass. I'll just say
touching
that.
Touching up by yourself, not with your kid in the car.
And I was in a spot on the freeway where there was no exit in sight. I mean, I knew the stretch that I was on, and I knew that I had a good mile to go before there was I could get off the freeway. So I had to pull over on the side of the freeway and start jacking the car up with my daughter in the car. And, man, it's scary. And the thing that makes it worse is whenever you watch those horrible video shows, and they always have someone changing their tire and a freaking semi comes and slams into them. It's horrible. And I was just kind of rattled by it.
Yeah, it happened to my father when I was young, when he had a flat tire on the freeway, and from the cars and the trucks going by so fast, you know, that air they generate, that wind blowing towards you, it caused the car to fall off the jack and pin him. He had his legs under the car, and it pinned his legs under the car, and luckily a trucker noticed that something was wrong. And he pulled over and lifted the car off my dad's legs.
Oh my God.
So that luckily he was okay, but it was that's the sort of thing that can happen. People are just so inconsiderate on the highway. They see somebody, you know, changing their tire, and they don't even bother to slow down. They just whip by at 70 miles an hour and scare the living crap out
of it. It was literally like 110 degrees because of all the cement, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, you know, this gushes of wind, like, woof, 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 like that. And I was afraid. I didn't want to turn the car off because I didn't want my daughter to melt in the car because Texas is freaking hot anyway. So I waited last possible second to turn the car off and roll the windows down. Like, that helps in the least in Texas. It's like,
the only thing positive about that is at least it is fresh air and it's not going to get any hotter in the car.
Right, but is it fresh air? It's on the freeway. Isn't it like carbon monoxide or...
Yeah. Well, I mean, an enclosed car, when they show that the temperatures can get up to 130 degrees inside there and bake the little melons of children, you know?
That's one thing I did is rolled the windows down and...
How kindly put.
Yeah.
Bake the little melons.
Luckily, my father-in-law showed up to finish changing the tire so I could occupy my daughter and everything was okay. But when I got home and finally sat down, I was like, damn, that was scary.
I've had that for me, except it happened like after midnight on a dark freeway in icy, snowy weather.
You didn't have anybody pulling over to help you?
No.
Are you kidding?
And not only this, I'll tell you this, when I was done and I was on the donut trying to get back on the freeway to go home, it took forever because no one slows down. No one sees you signaling. No one cares. I finally held the horn down and just floored it on this donut like... It was just like, come on, let me over, you bastards. No, it doesn't sound like that, Foggy, but okay.
Yeah, I hate getting flat tires so much that I actually spent, I think it was like $200 extra per tire to get those Michelin run flats.
Ooh, yeah.
So that if I get a flat tire, I have at least 50 miles to... get somewhere before the tire goes completely down.
I'd wish that I had some of that fix-a-flat stuff, but does it ever really work?
No, it all matters on what
kind
of
flat. It depends on the size hole,
And plus, in Texas, wouldn't it blow up in your trunk anyway because of how hot it gets?
Probably.
Well, that's what they
you open your trunk, holy crap, it's just a thing of foam.
It's like when you go to take your tire in, you have to tell them it's got fix-a-flat in it because it can explode on the guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like... I've had a flat tire before. I pulled off the side of the road, and immediately I had people pulling over to see
if
I needed
help. Because
you're a
chick.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it just men?
I stuck my stem out there. Come on, boys.
So I guess if you're a woman, you automatically people have more sympathy for you.
Sure.
Or
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, did you also? I don't know if you heard that about a
woman or if you're an elderly person.
Or I was just on a freeway with a bunch of assholes.
Didn't you hear about that a few years ago where the limo driver had a flat tire? A guy pulls over and helps him change it, and it wound up being the Donald's limo. Donald Trump got out and said, hey, you know, thanks for helping this worthless guy changed my tire. Or he wasn't worthless. But, you know, can I do something for you? He goes, hey, tomorrow's my wife's birthday. You know, can you send her some flowers? You know, she'll never believe that I told her that I met the Donald. You know?
Please, if I saw a limo with a flat tire, I would hop out of the car and help. Because you never know who's in there, and if you help, you might get something.
Well, that's what happened. He said that, you know, this guy... He went home, you know, told him what happened. You know, his wife's like, yeah, okay, big deal. Next day comes and goes, and no flowers for his wife. And it winds up being a couple of days later, some flowers come, and Donald had bought the mortgage for finished paying off their house.
Shit.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Nice. It's like, screw the flowers. Thanks, Donald.
He paid off, bought their house for him. You know,
that's awesome.
Mortgage free.
Now, another thing that happened this week is my daughter is like 27 months old. She's almost 2.5 years old. And when you're that age, sometimes you wonder, hey, what's this stuff in my diaper?
Oh, gosh.
And so I'm like, you know, usually it's all good. She'll even tell me, like, when she needs her diaper changed down, which is great. You know, we're trying to get her interested in the potty. And sometimes she'll just take her whole diaper off. Now, the other day I was coming out of the bathroom, and I was in there literally for a minute. I washed my hands, come out, and she's standing there holding up two hands full of poop. And she's like, ew! And I was like, like, I just, like, let out this scream. It was, like, a very woman.
I can imagine.
It was, like, this, eek!
You know what? Every guy does that in a situation where they're just shocked.
Right.
Like, I'll never forget one time I was in the car with my father. We were in a turn lane, and it looked like a car was coming right at us head on, like it was going to hit us. And he rips out this, yeah, but longer. And I think every guy does that. I don't care who you are.
What she did, and I didn't realize, is she took her diaper off and was running around without her diaper, and then basically squatted on the rug in the living room and took a poop. Then she stuck her hands in it, I guess, and then she ran into the bathroom, and that's when I found her, and I cleaned her all up, not realizing that the rest was in the living room. So I was like, and when she went back in there, she had stepped in it, so she's looking at her foot going, ew, yuck, yuck. And I was like, ah!
At that age, your dookie's prime for playing.
Yes, it is. But you know what was funny about all of it is just the innocence of it. It's just,
oh, yeah.
It's just funny and cute at the same time as being disgusting, and I have to clean it up.
The innocent curiosity of it all. I mean, it's just how a child's mind puts two and two together and gets poop.
Yeah, so I'll let you guys know more of our poop adventures as time goes by.
The poop adventure.
Yes. Here's some voicemail of the week.
Rubbing against my manhood.
Okay.
Gene, is that you?
What the? Okay. Okay. All right, here's another voicemail.
Hello, citizens of Mulberry. What is up? It is the Ron calling. And I got a little bit of surprise for you. Yesterday I saw an advanced screening of Superman Returns. That's right, down in Burbank, right down the street from the Warner Brothers Studios. Let me tell you guys, this movie is freaking incredible. I kind of went in with a little trepidation, you know. You know, Superman's one of my all-time favorite comic books. Well, let me tell you something. This movie is incredible. The special effects. Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor, I can't say enough about him. The opening scene, you know, the first time you see him, he kind of pays homage to the Gene Hackman Lex Luthor, which I thought was cool. Throughout the movie, there are references.
How so?
I want you guys to keep an eye out for the references to past Superman movies, TV shows, comic books. I mean, this movie is covered in them, so I kind of missed out on some of them because I wasn't paying attention until it was too late. But
the Rondu, Steven.
Incredible movie, incredible special effects. They need to look at Kevin Spacey as possible Academy Award nod.
Whoa!
I mean, he was just that good, I think.
Really?
Kate Bosworth of Lois Lane. I think she blew Margot Kidder out of the water. I never liked Margot Kidder much.
I don't think anyone did.
She was too anorexic back in the day. You know, I think they could have, for, you know, the original Superman 1, instead of Margot Kidder, you know, maybe Barbie Benton or, I don't know.
Barbie Benton, yeah. Jacqueline I can picture
Smith.
That.
Anyone was better than
Tanya
Margot
Roberts,
Kidder,
maybe?
Kate Bosworth.
No,
Lois
no,
Lane.
No,
oh,
no.
Oh, God, she was hot.
Raquel
Brandon
Welch.
Brandon Roche as Superman. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he was
Raquel
good.
Welch.
Yeah, Jacqueline Smith
would
have been good.
I think he made a really good Clark Kent. It just seemed like he was, I don't know, it was like he was, you know, drawing in the Christopher Reeve spirit when he was Clark Kent. I almost thought I was
he was possessed.
Christopher Reeve when he was Clark Kent. But overall, great movie, guys. Great, great movie. You
two
need
thumbs
to go
up from the wrong dude.
Right away. All right? Thank you. Bye. Hello?
Jesus! Everyone's killing themselves. Now, I guess the Ron do like it. And yeah. I'm going to see it next week. You know, usually I say, hey guys, I'm going to go see so-and-so next week, and I'm full of crap. I never do it. I'm going to see
thing.
Superman.
Yep, I already have my tickets for the first Wednesday showing of the DLP projection version of the film.
And I'm not necessarily saying we will review it on the show, but maybe we'll talk about it after we see it. Maybe
yeah,
we'll mention it.
We'll talk about it on the next show.
You know what? I have not been excited about this movie at all. And my interest is slowly gaining momentum. And then by next Friday, I'm sure I'll be all hyped up to see it. Because a lot of different people are who've gotten these sneak previews. By the way, Rondu, how did you swing that? That's no fair. Where's our tickets? Come on. Why aren't they giving us? They need to give us advance tickets so we talk about it on the show. Yeah. And so many people listen to our show, then it would like double the box office.
Yeah, all five.
This will be the first movie I'll actually be going to see in the theater first in a long time, because normally I just wait for the
torrent
version,
the hot
online.
Copy,
or yeah. Even like movies you really want to see, like Serenity. You saw like 3 weeks later, didn't you?
Well, actually, I saw it on the computer first. I downloaded it, and then I went.
That's a theater, right, Bill?
My own personal theater.
I got you. I was trying to save you from prosecution, but
well, it's just
it.
So much easier. The studios would learn from the pirates and make them. I would pay.
Arrgh!
I would pay $20 to watch a movie in the comfort of my own home, like a first-run movie.
It'll eventually get to that, I think.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk entertainment. All right, guys, there's a bunch of movies coming out this summer. I do this spiel every week. But there is a movie by M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong coming out called Lady in the Water. And I said his name right, right?
Yes.
Close enough, yes.
This movie, there was a teaser out a while back where it looked like, oh, it's Splash again or something. But, you know, that M. Night, he's always got a little thing going on.
It's no Splash.
Yeah, you fooled me. It's more like Splash and Willow combined. Tricky M. Night.
What?
No, I just... Yeah, okay, it's Lady in the Water, starring Paul Giamatti. Let's check out the trailer to it. What do you guys say? Sounds great.
Check
it
out.
Let's check it out.
I'm Cleveland Heap. Welcome to the Cove. Splashing some nights. Hello?
Hey! I saw you! I saw you!
Who in the world are you?
I don't know who you are, but you did something to my thoughts.
Where are you from?
The Blue World.
When the door to her world is opened.
Oh my God.
Others will come through.
What do you think it was? Some kind of dog? Are there any wolves in this area? Hyenas?
An animal that size doesn't just walk around not be seen.
And the fate of this world.
Why is she here?
She's trying to save us.
Does man deserve to be saved?
Lies in her hands.
What do you see?
Something go wrong?
What's happening? I thought it was gonna be safe!
M. Night Shyamalan's Lady in the Water.
How many of you are there?
Oh, it looks like I said his name wrong. It's Shyamalan or something. Oh. So close enough, though. This movie looks interesting, and hopefully he recovers from his last film. How many of you guys saw The Village?
I did.
I raised my hand, but no one can see it.
Yes, my hand is raised.
And what did you think of it? Was it a strike in his record of films, or was
no,
it?
No, I liked it. I think people expected something else. They thought it would be a Sixth Sense sort of thing, and it just wasn't.
Yeah, see, what he's done is he's kind of painted himself into a corner, which I kind of think came to a head in the last movie he released, is everyone thinks there's going to be this incredible twist at the end. The last movie he did wasn't an incredible twist. Some people thought it was a predictable twist. Some people just thought it was merely just kind of a little twist or whatever, but see, when you keep putting twists in your movies, everyone's expecting something crazy and wacky, and I think people were let down by it. He needs to do a movie without so much of a twist.
I want an Unbreakable sequel. I love Unbreakable.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I hope this movie is good. His films always look great, and they're always slow-paced. That's kind of his trademark. But something like Unbreakable that was really slow-paced but very interesting. I was very just like sucked
captivated
into the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, the only movie of his that I had a problem with was Signs, and I think that everything had to do with the fact that he never had to show the aliens.
Right.
It shouldn't have happened. You know, that whole scene at the end, the swing away, all that horseshit, that shouldn't have happened.
It came a little much in that movie, like the kind of statement he was making, and I don't know. It kind of seems silly. Once you start to analyze it, like, the god gave the kid asthma because eventually aliens would try to poison him and it saved his life. You're just like, okay, you can't think about it that much. But we'll be checking that out later on. And let's check out what's on our TiVos.
This half a year flew by.
Oh my God.
My Maury, what a guy. And when he did say the right thing, it was so rare. Why should I care?
And now, a Mulberry News Break.
America Online is famous for the expression, you've got mail, but what Vincent Ferrari got when he tried to cancel his AOL account was a lot of frustration. It took him 15 minutes just to talk to a real person, and here's what happened next.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I wanted to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that.
Good audio.
Let's pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Vincent's account for a long time?
Yep.
It's just quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do they have a high-speed connection, like the DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that?
The high years. Speed. Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago, not recently.
Well, okay. I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
So when you use this, I mean, use the computer, I'm saying. Is that for business or for
Dude, what for difference school? Does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can you please cancel it?
Last year was 540, last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well,
please.
Explain to me why.
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, Vince? I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with.
Yeah, I am trying to help.
Helping me. Listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel.
No, it wouldn't actually.
Cancel the account.
The worst thing that.
Cancel the account.
Okay, yeah, because I'm just trying to figure out.
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
Could you please cancel the account?
All right. Someday, when you've calmed down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay.
Jesus!
I went through the same thing when I canceled my AOL. Well, is there anything we could do to keep you as a customer? Because I had them for like 6 years. I'm like, no, I just want to use something different. Well, we do have other options for it. I'm like, no, that's okay. Thank
you.
Yep,
everyone's gone. I mean, I had to cancel AOL. And I remember my wife was staring at me. She was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I can't cancel. He just won't take no for an answer. She goes like, give me the phone. And, you know, because I said, we've got DSL. We don't need dial-up anymore. Well, sir, you could still use your DSL and use AOL in conjunction with that because there's lots of great features. It's like, no, I don't want it. And it was so funny because finally she was like, sir, we're just simple folk and we don't need two kinds of like online services. And I was like, simple folk?
Like the Pope Ozal man himself. You're just simple. That's
yeah.
He's simple.
We're Amish people with a computer, basically, and we don't need AOL.
He's here, simple
but
folk.
They're infamous for that, and it's crazy. I don't know why they have that policy. They just won't let you cancel. Well, what about if we give you 2 months free? How about that? It's like,
well, the representatives probably get a bonus in pay if they can keep the customer from canceling.
Now, I got to hand it to Vincent Ferrari. He put his foot down where I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting, but no, I don't want it, you know.
But then the guy gets upset, like, all I'm trying to do is help you.
Yeah, it's like, one day you're going to look back and realize, like, no, I will never think about this moment again as long as I live,
yeah,
dumbass.
One day I'm going to sit here and go, you know, I really shouldn't have canceled that AOL.
He really, was really just trying to help me. Now, guys, there's a show that I would like to forget about, and that's America's Got Talent.
Oh, my
you
God.
You watch that?
I don't even want to think about it. No.
All you need to know is that David Hasselhoff is one of the judges.
Louis Kelly
and Dave. They've got, what is this guy? One of the guys is an English guy, because you have to have a Simon Cowell-ish. Cowell-ish.
Cowell-ish.
Yeah. Simon Cowell-esque, if you want to be fancy, type. English guys.
This show should be called America's Got No Friggin' Talent.
Or The Gong Show, which is a friggin' ripoff of it.
Yes.
The only difference is they have buzzers with X's, just like Family Feud, you know, XXX. Three X's, you're off. And there were some funny moments, I gotta give it that. There was this band here. I don't even know what they were gonna do. They were called Blue Velvet, and they were about to sing. And you'll see how far they got in their act.
Hi, everybody. We are Blue Velvet. Blue Velvet, Blue Velvet, Blue Velvet.
Oh, man.
That's as far as they got. So there are sometimes some funny moments like that.
But the people, they'll just X them out, but they let that woman at the end, that rapping granny, do the entire friggin' rap.
Out of respect.
Or the woman with the harp, or the woman singing God Bless America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these horrible moments that you just wanted it to end, and they're sitting there like, oh, how sweet. No, you're not moving forward. It's like, come on. The whole bit of them calling up like three or four contestants and then taking a break and them doing it and then calling up another three. They extended a show that could have easily been 45 minutes in 2 freaking hours.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
I'm not going to watch it again, but...
I'm done. I'm done. I'm absolutely
it was horrible.
Done. And then there's Hasselhoff with his disdain for jugglers. I was like, what the hell? They had like 3 or 4 juggling acts, and every time a juggler would come up, he would get this look on his face like, oh, freaking jugglers.
Hey, Steven.
So much better than them. The best contestant was the old guy with the nose whistle, who after they X'd out, he basically said, oh yeah, Brandy, when was the last time you had a hit song, Moesha? And then he said to Hasselhoff, well, the world needs tone-deaf singers too. You know, I don't understand how NBC can put such garbage on the air.
The opposite of be there would be stay away.
But then again, they put Windfall on.
And
too,
basically so. What Simon Cowell has done, he's created a show where, like, everyone loves making fun of the bad singers. How about we just make fun of everybody who thinks they have any kind of talent because no one does? That's what the whole show's about.
You've got America's Got Talent. You've got American Inventor. You've got American Idol.
Hey, did everybody check out Last Comic Standing this week?
Yes.
So what was the deal on this? You have to kind of see what it would be like to be heckled.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And first off, what happened to the house? They threw him on the freaking Queen Mary. The way they're even shooting this thing, like, they put him in these tiny staterooms, and it's like they have a cameraman in there that doesn't fit with all these people, and it just feels so claustrophobic. They could have shelled out a little more money.
It's like, what is this, Das Boot or Last Comic Standing?
And then Clark needs to lay off the makeup. He looks like Marcel Marceau with all
what
this makeup on.
What happened to Jay Moore?
He's still a consultant on the show, but
he's doing Pepsi commercials
with
Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's check out how Josh Blue handled being heckled.
Physical disability, more like funny disability.
Very classy, heckling a cripple, man. Your mom must be proud.
Your mom's proud
yeah, she
of me
is.
And what I did last night.
Your mom's dead. You sick bastard!
Nice. So,
I think he's the funniest.
It's funny. I mean, it's not just a standard routine. He comes out and he does some of his material, but he's got a charisma about it. And it's not laughing because he has cerebral palsy. It's laughing because he's genuinely funny.
Yeah, and you can tell he's got a quick wit also.
Yeah, and the majority of the people on there are just horrible. The only other person on there with any sort of quick wit is the guy named Joey Gay. The rest of them are horrible. What the hell is Bill Dwyer doing on that show in the first place? The man is not funny. He should go back to doing episodes of Battle Bots. And then you have that Iglesias kid. Oh my God, is he bad. And his idea of heckling was laughing so loud that the comic couldn't do their material.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that one out either.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The guy didn't even know how to heckle. It's like, don't you know what heckling is? Or
yeah, I'll just sit here and laugh so loud that you can't do anything.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
Asshole.
You want to talk assholes? What about Supergroup on VH1?
Now, oh my God.
Now, Vanessa, I don't know if you've seen this, but basically what the show is showing is that Sebastian Bach has a drinking problem.
and he's a complete asshole.
And he's a
savage animal.
Him and Baron Troy are together.
He's a difficult guy to live with. Like here, he wants to drunkenly wrestle with another bandmate. Let's check it out.
This is called Ride the Out. This is called Ride the Off Me.
Hell you.
I'm trying.
What the f-
I'm
playing.
Dude, I'm gonna
I'm playing, dude.
Get away from me. Dude, I'm seriously drunk.
I'm playing.
What the f*** are you doing?
I'm playing.
How many times is he gonna say, I'm playing?
Is that Evan, the guy that's married to Tara Patrick?
Yeah, the tattoo
dude.
Trying
to wrestle?
I'm playing.
Everyone in that show hates him. Guy from Anthrax, all of them. They all hate him.
So that's Supergroup.
Guess they'll be looking for a new singer.
Supposedly they're done writing their songs. I want to hear what these pieces of crap are.
Yeah. Now, before we get into Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay was also on Conan this week, and I thought he kind of was teaching Conan how to make some stuff. Let's check that out.
Keep it on the board as well, please.
Okay,
thank
all
you.
Right. A little passive-aggressive there, but fine.
Any chance you can sort of move a bit faster?
Okay, yes. All right, a little faster there.
Right, now get it into a nice board.
Okay.
A little more salt.
All right, here we go.
A little bit of pepper.
Right here. Okay, a little pepper right there.
Now start binding it together.
Binding it together.
Yeah, there
right.
you go.
Okay, this is good. I've never made anything before. This is incredible.
I can see that.
Okay.
Okay.
No. You bastard.
Right.
We don't swear in this country, not on TV.
So basically, the guy's just got a swearing problem. No matter what show he's on, he drops F-bombs.
It's a complete difference of culture. You know, over there, the F-word isn't that big of a deal. It's just a word.
But this guy, it's almost Swearingen-like, where he has a talent at profanity. You know, some people use profanity and it's just like, they're not very good at that. This guy's got it kind of down to an art form, doesn't he?
Some people depend on profanity because they have a limited vocabulary, whereas this guy is an artiste
of
profanity.
Right. Now, this week on Hell's Kitchen, there was a guy, you guys helped me out here, whose pants kept falling down, or they just hang down
a lot. They just were down. Guys. That's how he walks.
Yeah, let's check out what happens when Gordon wants him to pull his pants up.
You have got to smarten your act up. Do you understand?
Yes,
let's
sir.
Go, yes? And do me a favor. Just pull your pants up a little bit, yes?
You got it, Chef.
Yeah? The view of your crack to table 7 is not appealing.
I just hope our stuff is not coming from that guy.
Yeah. I wear my underwear up high and my pants low because that's how I rock them. The customer didn't see my ass. There's no chance they did because you can ask anybody how I rock them, and that's it.
He's this big, overweight, white guy with a bad receding hairline, and I'm at a loss for words and how ridiculous
now,
this
can
guy
I ask
is.
You something? Like, the part when they show the guy sitting at the table saying, I hope we're not getting food from that guy.
It's because he's sweating profusely.
Well, is that real, though? Is that stage where that guy said that, or is that real?
It's entirely possible that it's staged. It's not a real restaurant. These people are probably, you know, commercial actors or something that are going to...
They realize they're not going to get food.
Yeah, but what else it is the guy was tasting what he was cooking with the spoon he was stirring with.
Yeah, that's right.
And the guy saw that and went, I hope we're not getting the food from that guy.
I would say the same thing, and I don't have to be an actor.
The other guy that's completely...
Table 7 is not appealing.
But I was glad this... See, this season, Gordon Ramsay knows he's in deep shit. Not a single one of these people, except the prison guy
and
one or two of the girls... are qualified in what they're doing, and you've got like a deli manager on the girls' team, and on the guys' team you've got this ex-stockbroker who's a shveta. He is so incompetent. And then this the one guy that got voted off this week, this Giacomo, even though his name is spelled Giacomo.
Awesome name.
He forgot to turn the ovens on. That completely ruined the service, you know, because he didn't turn the ovens on. They couldn't bake the lamb Wellington, you know. It just completely ruined the service, and now the guys are down to, what, 3?
Right. Yeah, they've lost every challenge so far.
Yeah.
Are the contestants at least entertaining, or are they all just numbnuts?
They're mainly all numbnuts.
Yeah,
and
the guys are all numbnuts.
Yeah, well...
Doesn't it come down to just the girls, then?
Yeah, well, they're gonna have to merge. But the thing with the guys is, they should be down to 4.
but they lost the fishmonger because he had a panic attack in the second episode of the show. So they're down one more than they should be. And then there's the girls who keep winning. There's this girl on the team, this Virginia, who I gotta say is just stacked. I mean, she's got a great chest on her. But
Isn't that dangerous around burners?
Please, she had that bikini on, rubbing the lotion on.
What is she doing with the bikini in a kitchen? I thought they were making food.
They won a challenge.
On one of the rewards, they got to go out on a boat.
Oh, okay, I got you. It's like The Apprentice, where
they
win
get rewards.
And they get to go around and do stuff.
But the whole point of it is she is such a flirt. And any time they win and Gordon Ramsay is there, and he'll say, like, well, I've got to get back to the kitchen. I'll see you later. And she's like, oh, I hope sooner rather than later.
I know.
And it's like, honey, give it up. Gosh.
It's like, that's not going to work.
Was she the one that's, they're sitting at the table, and she goes, okay, chef. She goes, Gordon, oh, I hope you would say that.
Yeah, same one. She's the one that always says something ridiculously flirty. You can tell she obviously is a slut of epic magnitudes.
Which doesn't bother you a bit, right?
Well, if she's willing to be with me, no. But, I mean, she's not the
You're
most attractive
slut?
Woman.
You dress like a slut, you look like
she's
a slut.
She's definitely a butterface.
Yeah, everything but her face, I've learned from Bill over time.
Thank you.
Now, okay, guys. Rescue Me is a show that I watch and that I love. It's about New York firemen, because 9/11, post 9/11 New York firemen, mm-hmm. and how they deal with their everyday life. There's some drama in the show, but the show is basically dark humor. It's all black humor. I love the show and its writing.
If I could stomach Dennis Leary, I would watch
it. I'm telling you, you could. You could too.
No, I've
Steven.
Tried watching it. I can't watch it.
No, you could. It's a great show. And this clip encapsulates everything I love about Rescue Me. One of the older firefighters is contemplating suicide by jumping on the rail of the subway,
the third rail, yes.
To fry himself. Now let's check out what happens.
Hey! What do you think you're doing?
Who the hell are you?
What are you doing?
I'm frying myself.
That's what I'm doing. Get out of here.
It's a free country. We can both do it.
No way. People read about this in the paper. They'll think we're cult members of a couple of queers and some homo suicide pact thing. Take a hike, wannabe.
You hike a hike. I was here first.
I'm going first.
Why should you go first?
I'm homeless. I got nothing. I got no friends. I got no family. My life is shit.
My life is big as shit, all right? My wife, whom I love dearly, left me for another man. She broke my heart, and then she took nearly everything that I owned, all right? And then I met another woman. Yeah, beautiful. Young, gorgeous, hooker. But one of the good ones. Because she didn't make me pay until the end. And at the end, she took every penny that I had on earth. And then, get this, I'm in a porn store the other day, and who do I see on the cover of a XXX but her? So not only is she a thief and a hooker, but she's a porn star to boot. I'm a joke. I'm a loser. I look in the mirror, I want to puke.
Be my guest. You win, loser. You go first.
And that's what I love about the show. It's sad or it's dramatic, but there's always a punchline. And it's a really funny show, and I'm always tearing up, laughing my ass off at it. So check out Rescue Me if you can stand Dennis Leary. I don't understand what the deal is with Dennis Leary.
I just can't. It's just Dennis Leary. But I know why? He does great things for firemen, and no, I appreciate that.
I know, but I don't understand. What is it? Is it just,
I just have never been able to, ever since I saw his first stand-up routine, I was like, I can't stand this guy. I didn't think he was funny or talented.
Okay.
I like him because of the fact that he doesn't really give a flying crap what people think about him. He
right.
Care
flying
about
crap.
Yep.
What's funny, Stephen, I don't disagree with you on a lot of things, we're good friends, but I completely disagree with you. I think not only is he funny, but he's a talented writer. He co-created the show with Peter Tolan, and they pretty much write, you know, every single episode. And I just love it.
I'll not say that he's a talented guy, and he does a lot of charity work and whatnot. But I'm not the biggest fan, but it doesn't have to do with the fact that I don't like him as a person. I watched the first season of the show at your recommendation, but I just couldn't get into it.
I can't get into it. I don't say I dislike him as a person, because he does great charity things for people. He's
dark,
a great guy.
You've said before that you hate him. Have you not?
Yes. No, I don't. Not on a personal level.
What does that mean?
Because I don't know him.
He doesn't like
him. But you can't stand him.
I can't stand. Yeah, exactly.
You can't stand the very sight of him.
Okay, what about the movie?
It
the
makes
ref?
Your skin crawl.
The ref is freaking hilarious.
No, the ref.
No, the ref is not hilarious.
I turned it off after 5 minutes.
Oh, man. I think that movie's hilarious.
I like the ref too.
The ref is a mediocre dark comedy. It's not hilarious.
There's just parts that antagonize me about Dennis Leary.
Right, okay. And basically, it's an irrational hatred of Dennis
and
Leary.
Exactly, people are allowed to have that. Just like,
yeah, people are allowed to have it. But what I'm saying for our listeners, check out Rescue Me.
I'm not telling them not to watch it.
I know, I'm just...
I've told you the story before.
The thing that drives me nuts, this is what drives me nuts, is that it's a great show, and I want you to get past that and see what a great show it is.
I've tried watching it more
than
once.
No, don't try. You just watch it, damn it. And you like it.
Steven is in the same category as my mother, who hates William Shatner for absolutely no reason.
How could anyone hate William Shatner?
I know. I've never forgot. I was watching something, and she just goes, "I hate that guy." And I was like, "Mom."
Well, it's like my mother-in-law. She hates Clint Eastwood. And I said, "Why do you hate Clint Eastwood? He's great." She goes, "He's a womanizer." I was like, "What?" But nothing I could say could change her mind. And we, you know what? We should not try to change each other's minds. Steven, you are free to...
Clint.
You are free to not like Dennis Leary. That's fine.
It's his act, or, you know, if his persona he puts on.
I can understand, but you have to understand that's an act, too. Have you seen Larry the Cable
that's
Guy
what I'm saying.
Before
I don't...
he had the Cable Guy act?
That's what I'm saying. I don't hate the guy.
Right.
It's his persona.
He doesn't like his work.
But he's a character. He's not that persona in the show.
That's everybody. I mean, look at...
He's not... Remember those old... I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the old MTV ads where he would go, "Shut up!" to the camera, that kind of thing. You hated that, right?
No, it was his stand-up act even before that. Before he...
Right, but that was a long time ago, right?
But still, that it puts a stigma on him for me.
Okay.
It's like...
he's the second coming.
Like, it's like Julia Roberts, you know, she'll always be Pretty Woman. I can't stand her for that.
Yeah, I know, but can you
Julia
watch a movie
Roberts
with her in
bitch.
It? Can you watch her, like, I think...
I can't watch her in anything.
I'm not a big... See, that's what I'm talking about. That drives me nuts. You should be able to if it's a good movie, right?
No, I hate Julia Roberts.
No, there are certain actors I can't stand. No, give me a break. Come on, we are not teenagers here.
No, I watched her...
No. Can you watch Aaron Brockovich and admit it's a good movie?
I can't watch it.
See, what is that? it drives me nuts.
I watched Flatliners with her in it.
Yeah, okay, whatever. That was a long time ago.
Flatliners.
What about Mystic Pizza, Steven? That's a great movie. Mystic Pizza! All right.
I've never seen that.
Okay.
I was going to say that's how I feel about Juliette Lewis, but I'll still, like, I saw Strange Days. I love Strange Days.
Well, you're wrong, because that movie sucked.
Scientologist.
I liked it. I didn't, like, think it was an Academy Award winner. But...
She was great in that movie where she was retarded. What was that movie? Wait, her and Giovanni Ribisi are in love in that. It's a freaking Scientologist fest.
Scientologist retard love.
And then they give birth to an operating thetan at the end that's motarded.
And it floats around in a glow.
His name is Corky, and he, like, sticks to you and makes you think negative thoughts. It was awesome.
And hangs around with creepy twins that make him play music.
What? I didn't get that reference.
Corky's in a band.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Twins.
Sorry about that.
I hate having to explain my comments.
Oh, hey, Steven.
You're making everyone so angry. Steven, look what you've started.
Before we move on, Bill, I just wanted to mention again to our listeners that Spaced is on BBC America, which is a great show.
Excellent show.
I hate everyone in the cast, but it's a great show. I'm kidding.
I can't watch it anymore.
It has Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead, the creators of Shaun of the Dead, directed by Edgar Wright. And it was a great, there was only like 14 episodes in all, but it's a great show. They're showing it on BBC America on Fridays.
Directed by Edgar Wright, the director and co-writer of Shaun of the Dead. And the show was written by Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevenson, the stars of Space.
I would like for everyone to check it out. Bill would too. Bill loves it. Steven, you've seen it.
It's a good show. I like it.
It's a geek's dream. It's just the funny, quirky, it's just a great show. It's a great, great show.
All right. Now, who watched Entourage this week?
I did.
Oh, good, Steven. You saw Entourage? Bill, I know you saw it because you never miss it. Now, Bill, come on. Give it a chance. It's got a lot of hot chicks on it, right?
It does?
Yes, it does. Every week.
There.
Now, didn't you watch this show? Did you watch it this week?
No, I didn't watch
it. Oh, okay. You were supposed to keep watching it, even though you hate it.
Okay, fine. I'll start watching.
So, okay, Steven.
Luckily, I have HBO on demand. I'll just go there and watch the past episode.
Yeah. So, here's what happens. Aquaman comes out.
Right. They go to the valley to see it.
They go to the valley to see it because they want to see it around real people, not the Hollywood people. And, of course, drama. He hates that place because it's over 100 degrees.
It's hot.
It's hotter than hell. I love there's a scene where they were driving without the AC on, just looking at the temperature gauge, how high it got.
Yeah.
And watching him sweat back there. He's got
a towel over his head.
I would be like that. I'd be dropping dead. But it reminded me of when we lived in California. There's always freaking just lines around the theater, and they're going to sneak in the theater and check out Aquaman. Right before it's the big dramatic scene at the end, the power goes out everywhere, and apparently all day in California.
Been rolling blackouts.
Rolling blackouts. And the main thing that they keep talking about is how much will this movie make?
Is it going to make Spider-Man numbers?
Yeah, Spider-Man had the biggest box office. Will it do Spider-Man money? And
Spider-Man money?
Yeah, because that's the holy grail, the Spider-Man weekend. Yeah. And he didn't care about it at first, but they kept talking about it, and then they mentioned the Spider-Man opening weekend, so he's kind of obsessed with that now. They're kind of stuck there in the valley because all the roads are blocked off. There's no
traffic lights are off and stuff, so they're traffic jams galore.
Yeah, so they hook up with these teenagers who tell them they're having a party at this house, and could they use Vince Chase to get into the party because they're dorks.
Because they're nerds.
So they get there, and it's pretty cool because Vincent Chase tells these hot girls that these two nerdy guys are his cousins, and so they've got these hot chicks all over them. You know, it's for all the wrong reasons. They don't care about them, but still, you know, the guys are going to get some, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, and I love there was a great moment where he said, it'll be your almost famous moment, Vince. You know, you're going to a high school party. He's like, okay, and you can see he's drunk and wasted and even gets up on the roof, and it's like, oh, no. I'm glad he never did try to jump off because I was waiting for that.
Right.
But Ari shows up, and here's what happens.
The biggest thing that the blackouts affected were the actual reporting of the numbers.
We beat Spider-Man?
Well, it's only Friday, but if there isn't a tornado in the Midwest, I think we got a good shot, my friend.
Hey, everybody. You got the biggest movie star on the planet on your roof right now.
The thing that I like about this show, especially after watching it the same night as Deadwood, is this show is nothing but just having a good time.
Yeah,
really?
Like the nerd kids at the end. Hey, dude, can you give us a ride? We got the chicks. You know?
And it's like, here, take the keys. Take our Maserati. It's due back in
August. Yeah, the lease is up at the end of August. Have a good time.
The guy's like, dude, no way. I like the show. It's a good show.
I hate Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven's my favorite character on the show. He's great.
Judgment Night. He was in that, right?
Yeah, he gets killed.
And Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Steven, you've never seen it because you hate Dennis Leary.
No, I cheered it because he dies in it.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I remember I went to see it in the theater because I was so in love.
Oh, you went to see Judgment Night in the theater?
Yeah, when I was in college because I was really into House of Pain. Yep.
You're really into pain.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin.
Big Brother 7, you have a choice of, there's 20 people from previous seasons.
Yeah, the all-stars, as they call them.
Fans can vote on 6 that they want to return.
Which is horseshit. We should be able to vote on all of them.
Right, I think that too, because it says the producers will pick the other 6, so...
Yeah, and the producers haven't been that good to begin with to pick people.
Which do you think the ones that are definitely in, no matter who votes?
Well, it's definitely the most popular.
Right.
They're not going to just... They might pick one or two black sheep, but I'm looking for Bunky to get in, for sure. The gay emotional train wreck.
Well, the thing that was great about when he was on there is he would fall... He would just cry all the time. He was the Jonathan Anton of the show.
Yeah, he would cry at everything. The people I want to see get in are just the hot chicks. I want Diane in, I want Erica in, I want Janelle in, I want Lisa in, I would love to see Marcellus in, just because he's such a... I love watching him on that House Call show. He's
Marcellus?
Just such a, yeah, he's a funny guy.
The one thing that I'm thinking about is it's a lot different in the fact that previous seasons, people have never been in there before, and they have to adjust. There's this, they kiss each other's ass at first, and then they kind of form alliances or whatever. But now, everyone who's going to be in there has been on the show before.
You're going to have instant alliances the moment this show starts because all these people know one another.
Yeah, they're calling each other on the phone right now.
It's like Lisa and Marcellus are best friends.
Yeah, you can't tell me that Janelle, Kacer, Howie, and James aren't mm-hmm. an alliance, you know, from last season. Mm-hmm. Or even if Yvette goes in there now, she's good friends with James. That it'll be interesting to see how that breaks down. I'm sure they'll throw some kind of wrench in the works to... where, hey, it's not like we planned it, we thought it was going to be, kind of thing.
I don't think, for me, it's as much as who I want in the house as who I don't want in the house.
Right, there are...
Like Allison from the X Factor season, I can't stand.
I'll tell you who I definitely don't want in, is that Mike Boogie guy.
Oh, I cannot stand him. He is the epitome of an arrogant idiot. He's got nothing going on.
Man, I got my own restaurants, you know? Yeah.
He's is that the one with all the muscle, he's all muscled up and everything?
No, this is the scrawny idiot that thinks he's black.
He's got the blonde, black. Spiky hair, he's always got the stupid visor on, and he co-owns restaurants with Hollywood actors, and he's always talking about that, you know?
And Dr. Will has had his day in the sun. I don't want to see him back.
I really didn't think that they should allow previous winners on the show.
Yeah, if I want to see anyone back, I don't want to see winners. The one guy I absolutely hated in the one season was that Jace.
Right.
But I think he might be good in the show this season. He's real arrogant, real vain. He would always like look at himself in the mirror. The best thing about that season was I was convinced that they had this thing called the Four Horsemen, and
yeah.
I was convinced that every one of them was gay.
Because
they would always take their shirts off and look at each other in the mirror and like pose for non-existent cameras.
And the thing is, the cameras are there, but they're not thinking about that.
Who's the psycho guy who thinks he's a Jedi Knight?
That's Howie.
That's Howie.
He was from last season. I think he'll be back. The thing was, he was entertaining.
He would make fun of Busto.
Yeah, if I was in the house, it would probably annoy me, but on the show, it's funny. I'd be like, dude, put down the stupid lightsaber or whatever.
The thing that cracked me up about Howie the most was he's just so goofy. I loved it near the end of the season. He would go out and go in the bin that held the pool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cleaning stuff, and he would masturbate.
All right, so that's Big Brother 7. We'll talk more about it as it's coming closer, and we're still thinking about doing a podcast. I want you, the listeners, to tell me and Bill whether we should do it or not.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to SwitchPod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
All right, Vanessa, let's do the news. All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
Alrighty. A 42-year-old Lake Crystal man led sheriff's deputies on a goose chase. His getaway vehicle? A 5-horsepower mini motorcycle.
Sweet.
Rock on.
Me. A call came in reporting that Douglas Lee Men had wiped out at a downtown intersection. Sheriff's deputy Jeff Wurzel responded, suspecting it was a case of drunk driving. By the time the deputy arrived at the intersection, Men had recovered and driven off. After locating him, Wurzel tried to get Men to pull over. The bike had no taillight or license plate. Wurzel pursued Men to a parking lot where he paused briefly, restarted the bike, and zipped out the other side of the lot. The chase continued as Men putted down the street, going nearly a whole 25 miles per hour. Wurzel pulled alongside Men and yelled at him to stop, and the chase slowed to about 10 miles per hour when Wurzel pulled in front of the bike. Wurzel then fired his taser out at the squad car window.
Holy shit!
One dart hit Men but fell out. The effort hindered Men enough for Wurzel to get out of his car and push Men off the bike. It took the help of another deputy to make the arrest. Men was jailed and released after posting $12,000 bail, where charges are now still pending. Could you imagine that chase?
That's funny, huh? But what a poorly written story. How can you zip and then putt? He zips out and then putts along.
Did he have, like, a golf club?
I think he had nitrous in that thing.
Yeah.
He had a little nos going.
How slow it was, the cop could just get out of the car and just push him over.
The fact that a chase, he could have sued. Why wouldn't the cop just pull in front of him?
Pleasuring himself.
He did do that, and then he pulled off into a parking lot. I don't know. All right, in Rhode Island, a former handyman has won more than $400,000 in a lawsuit over a penile implant that gave him a 10-year erection. Charles Lennon, 68, received this steel and plastic implant in 1996.
Steel?
Uh-huh. About two years before Viagra went on the market. The Dura 2 is designed to allow impotent men to position the penis upward for sex, then lower it.
Good Lord in heaven.
I know.
I'm starting to dry heave.
Man, if he just would have held out two more years.
Downward. He said he could no longer hug people, ride a bike, swim.
He could no longer hug people.
Because don't of the mind pain. Me, it's just my boner.
Yeah, because of the pain and embarrassment. He has become a recluse and is uncomfortable being
erect
loose.
I got nothing. Go ahead, Vanessa.
In 2004, it's not a loose. Jury awarded him $750,000. A judge called that excessive and reduced it to $400,000.
Oh, yeah, because that's not excessive either.
Well, I kind of can't blame him. On Friday, the Rhode Island Supreme Court affirmed that an award in ruling that it turned on a procedural matter. I don't know any man who, for any amount of money, would want to trade and take my client's life, says his attorney. He's not a whole person.
Maybe Mike Cooper.
A lawyer representing both Dura 2 manufacturer Dacom Corporation and the company's insurer declined to comment. He's 68, too, but I guess...
He was 68?
Yeah.
I would think...
What the hell is he doing with a hard-on anyways?
Oh, yeah, Bill, like, what, when you hit 60, you're no longer going to want a woman? Aww.
Well, it's just that...
Of course you're going to want a woman, but you're not going to be able to get one.
Well, it's just that he's kind of old. Money. Hasn't he seen his share by then? It's just time to let it go?
Tell him to switch off.
Yeah, just switch it off, you know?
All right. People should not use mobile phones outdoors because of the risk of being struck by lightning. They reported the case of a 15-year-old girl who was using her phone in a park when she was hit by lightning during a storm.
Did she scream rat farts before she got struck by lightning? I'm sorry, that's a Caddyshack reference. When the preacher gets struck by lightning, he screams, rat fart!
Although she was revived, she did suffer persistent health problems and was using a wheelchair even a year after the accident.
Holy crap.
The rare phenomenon is a public health issue, and the education is necessary to highlight the risk of using cell phones outdoor during stormy weather to prevent future fatal consequences from lightning strike injuries.
I foresee a Mythbusters episode out of this.
Yeah, me too.
You never
know. You'll crack the table 7 is not appealing.
Esprit and other doctors at the hospital added in a letter to the British Medical Journal that usually when someone is struck by lightning, the high resistance of the skin conducts the flash over the body in what is known as the flashover. But if a metal object, such as a cell phone, is in contact with the skin, it disrupts the flashover and increases the odds of internal injuries and death. So I guess that's what they're talking about. The doctor added that 3 fatal cases of lightning striking people while using their cell phones have been reported in newspapers in China, South Korea, and Malaysia. So people are warned.
They have cell phones in those countries?
I think they're
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like I've been stabbed in the heart.
Yeah, they have no food in some countries, but they still have cell phones.
You see, I can't eat, but I can talk on my phone.
Well, haven't you seen that?
They call
you
out for Chinese food?
People who are like you know, drawing welfare and stuff, they have like a Razor cell phone, you know, it's like this super nice cell phone, but they have no money to put food on the table. It's like, priorities.
Do people
there.
In China call out for American?
No, they just call out for food. They order food.
But bump, where's my rim shot?
Thank
you, Yoda.
In California, the driver was sober. The bird he hit may have been under the influence. A California brown pelican flew through the windshield of a motorist on the Pacific Coast Highway in Orange County Thursday, and wildlife officials said the bird was probably intoxicated by the chemical in the water. Though toxicology tests take several weeks, the odd bird's behavior was likely the result of poisoning from domoic acid, which has been found in the ocean in the area. Birds can be poisoned through eating algae tainted by this acid. The driver was not hurt. The pelican needed surgery for a broken foot and also
what?
A gash on its pouch.
They didn't just kill a bird?
No.
They only
Who
shoot
operates
horses.
On a friggin' pelican?
We need a pelican doctor here, stat!
Yeah. Well, call the pelican ambulance!
Domoic acid poisoning was the most likely cause of a 1961 invasion of 1,000 of a frantic seabirds in Northern California that inspired Alfred Hitchcock's film The Birds. Those
let
birds...
See, let me see, show you what is that. Ta-da!
Those birds flew into buildings and pecked several humans. Pelicans
including Tippi Hedren.
Yes. Pelicans have excellent eyesight, and they are unlikely to have flown into a car without some kind of intoxication.
Except this pelican had bad eyesight.
Yeah.
Those damn pelicans.
And finally, Boy George's next prominent fashion accessory might be handcuffs. After George failed to
Not
show
Not funny,
up
for ha-ha, funny, queer.
After George failed to show up for a Friday court date, a Manhattan judge issued a warrant for his arrest. However, Judge Ferrara said that he's not going to order any action to be taken until after a June 26 hearing on whether the former Culture Club singer violated the terms of a sentence he's serving for filing a false police report. Boy George, whose real name is George O'Dowd,
the guy was gay,
pleaded guilty to falsely reporting a burglary in March to avoid jail time he could have incurred after being booked on suspicion of possessing drugs in October of 2005.
Is this guy not off drugs yet?
No.
How is he not dead?
I thought he was.
He's
well,
really flaming.
He probably got off, got back on, got you know, that's like that. A lot of drug
it's sad.
It's like Leif
drug
Garrett.
Users do that. They'll that's why they say you never actually quit.
Vanessa, what was the name of the judge in the case again?
Ferrara.
That's stretching.
Glad I'm not the only one who thought that. He was arrested after police responded to a 911 call from Boy George saying he'd been robbed, found cocaine in the musician's Little Italy apartment, and authorities later released a complaint saying they had discovered more than 13 bags of cocaine on the premises.
I've been robbed by a swarthy Italian.
The judge concurred that street sweeping would be a humiliation. What street sweeping is like looking for him door to door.
There's some short street sweeper going, "Hey,
I'm sorry, sir, but we're looking for an Italian man."
But it could be a humiliation. But said that Boy George got out from under a felony, and he took a deal that had an element of humiliation, and he doesn't serve himself well by not paying. And we know that he has plenty of money to pay.
Does he? He could have blown it all by now.
And that's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. I hope Boy George cleans up his act.
1, 2, 3. Go and eat it.
All right, Bill, how about some cult news? What do you say?
Okay.
Ha 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 ha.
All right, Bill, cold news. What do you got this week?
This one is for you because you requested some Jehovah Witness cold news.
Yes, I did. We need to trick up the cults a bit is all I'm saying.
Yeah, we need to mix it up. Maybe we'll cover a vague Asian cult next week, you know, who knows. Jehovah Witnesses are busy inviting everyone in the Seattle-Tacoma area to the convention in Tacoma. An elder from a local congregation in Tacoma, dressed in a coat and tie and bearing religious literature, the Watchtower, I'm sure, was headed up the walkway of a Ballard home when a woman sketching on the porch spotted him. "That's far enough," she called out, learning that the visitor was a member of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
"Halt right there, sir.
That's quite far enough." The woman said that a previous visit by group members annoyed her. "I'm a nice person, but they pushed me to the limit."
That's the thing is you can all, you take advantage of people's common courtesy. You know, "Oh, I can't really ask them to leave." You know what? Yes, you can. Yes. It's your house.
Like,
tell them you're not interested. Slam the door. It doesn't matter. Just
they're
do
They're like the customer service agents for AOL.
You just slam the door.
These face-to-face encounters last week, some hits, some misses, marked the beginning of a massive campaign by Jehovah's Witnesses to personally invite Western Washington residents to their upcoming district convention in Tacoma next week. The group printed invitations to hand out at 900,000 homes from Bellingham to Vancouver.
Wow.
Bold and ambitious even for a religion known for its persistent door-to-door visits and divergence from certain bedrock Christian beliefs.
And they do it all on foot.
They don't ride like bikes. They don't like wear suits and ride bikes like Mormons.
Nope. The thing is, it's about the labor you're doing.
Oh, well, that's really nice.
Suckers!
Though Jehovah's Witnesses annually hold district conventions around the world, they're open to the general public. They usually don't seek attention. This year, that
stupid!
Changed.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Why now? Because we recognize how close it is to the culmination of the entire world system, said Peter Mikus, the elder who encountered the Ballard woman late last week. Wars, the natural disasters, and other tumultuous events around the globe indicate that the kingdom of God is like a freight train.
Huh?
It's on its way. I guess it, you know, I guess
it'll be arriving shortly. Please pack your bags.
Arriving at track 13, the kingdom of God. Don't take showers, don't cut your hair, don't worry about it. The kingdom of God is arriving. Such discourse draws mixed reaction from the general public, says Chris Mahala, an elder with Micus at the North Park congregation in Greenwood.
Antipsychotic drugs.
If I had to summarize the perception, I'd say that people who do not know anything about the Bible probably think we're quacks going door to door.
No.
Wow. People who know about the Bible probably respect our knowledge. That's a stretch. At 20,000 about 20,000 Jehovah's
Witnesses. Hoping for a little too much.
Yeah, I think most people that actually know and read the Bible go, "Oh, those freaking wackos are back
what
again."
Do you mean by that?
About 20,000 Jehovah's Witnesses live in Western Washington, and Henry Sherwerderfurger, a local spokesman and minister in the Issaquah congregation.
Ah, yes.
Jehovah
the
Witnesses,
Native American Issaquah.
Jehovah's Witnesses, Jehovah is a name for God in the Old Testament, usually meet at
thing.
Buildings called Kingdom Halls, where they see jazz bands. And do not call themselves a church.
Right, it's
Why
a
don't
kingdom
they call
hall.
Themselves a church? Why do they call it a hall?
It's more enticing. It's cool.
Come to the hall for a fish fry Friday.
Now, come on, how cool is that? A kingdom hall? Sweet!
Yeah.
Church? Boring! Kingdom hall? Woohoo!
Yeah, you think you're going
Here's
to
another
the
thing.
Park.
Okay, when you're picking
they need
your
to
religions,
snazz it up like KFC.
Yeah, when you're picking your religions, come on, pick one where you can have the weekends off. What are you doing walking around on a Saturday passing out magazines?
Yeah, when I think Kingdom Hall, I do think KFC. You know, I want a biscuit bowl I want to have fun. I want to eat.
Corn, mashed potatoes, gravy with some little chicken sprinkled in there.
And cheese on top.
Who the hell invented that piece of crap?
Not only is it a piece of crap, who added the cheese?
I know.
Yeah, that's where
I don't think chicken out. And cheese.
No. It's all good except the cheese.
Yeah, leave the cheese Bible. Off. Okay, continuing with the Jehovah's Witness story. Let me just finish this up.
It's all relative.
Mala led 10 members in a brief prayer. Beef prayer. Oh, mighty cow. A brief prayer one morning last week at the North Park Kingdom Hall before they
Where's
broke into
the
small
beef?
Groups and terrorized the neighborhood. As the light rain fell, Mahala and Micus walked around the block, gently rapping on front
I love
door.
That radio show. Mahala
and Micus.
Join Mahala and Micus on the morning zoo.
This morning we'll be knocking on your door. Be sure to answer.
Welcome this morning, Jehovah Talk.
What radio station do you love? J-H-E-O. Yay.
Yeah, he's a dumbass.
They handed invitations to a man sitting in his car, a woman scurrying after her child on the sidewalk. She was probably told the kid to run so she could run after him.
Run!
A construction worker repairing a house. And a construction worker repairing a house. Because most residents weren't home, the two elders left folded invitations at the door. At one empty house, 9 silver artistic crucifixes were on display near the porch, a telltale sign about the spiritual interests of the owner, Micus said.
Right.
Yeah, if you have crosses...
You're a Catholic.
Yeah, forget about it. That's like, hey, crosses? No, we don't do that. So they are in full mode trying to get people to go. And these, in case you want to go, and you're in the Washington... Seattle-Tacoma area, the convention will be in the Tacoma Dome June 30th through July 2nd and July 7th.
All right, booking my flight right now?
Yeah, July 7th. Both weekends will have the same programs, and sessions begin at 9:30 a.m. each day and are free and open to the public.
Awesome.
I thought they weren't allowed to party. That sounds like a party.
Well, that's a Baptist,
dude. It's a good time, dude.
Yeah, the only thing Jehovah's Witnesses really
retarded.
What the hell are you talking about? It's a Baptist thing.
Baptists aren't allowed to drink or dance.
Yes, they are.
That's only in Footloose, Stephen.
No.
No, you're talking about strict
yeah,
Baptist.
Southern Baptist, yeah.
Right.
Well, Southern Baptist,
that's,
maybe.
That's what I've grown up as.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses, I remember...
You gotta cut loose, man.
I'm done.
Footloose, dude.
I do.
We couldn't do anything.
Let's hear it for the boys.
You can't celebrate anything where you have to actually purchase a gift for anybody.
Yeah, you can't celebrate any holidays.
Yeah, birthdays.
And you cannot get blood transfusions.
God forbid
you give anyone a gift for, you know, any...
Yeah, okay, listen to this. You don't give gifts, you don't receive gifts, and you definitely do not donate any part of your body or organs, and you don't take any blood transfusions. So basically, you're just a selfish prick.
It really is true.
Don't spend your money on nobody. Don't give them shit. And if anybody doesn't believe in the same shit you do, fuck them. That's essentially it. And you get to go to the kingdom, share in the kingdom of the Lord.
This story is truly twisted, and it can only come from the greatness that is Scientology.
All right, this is what... you know what? I love Scientology.
They do so much ridiculous stuff that how can you even
are they
take
like,
them seriously?
Are they like Jonathan?
It's like a teddy bear, you know? It's... yeah.
Now, here we go. Scientology in Germany. It's a really touchy subject in Germany.
Right.
Scientology is labeled as a cult in Germany.
But we're just Scientologists.
Scientologists are taking advantage of Germany's education problems for their own ends. They're luring weak students by providing after-school tutoring. Education authorities in Germany are on alert.
Stephen, you offered to tutor me in math.
Just once.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
But it wasn't about the math.
I don't like where this is going.
The ad on a supermarket notice board was aimed at all parents in the neighborhood. Right nearby, there was an alternative school where learning was still fun. Sounds just right, thought one dad, who is now reluctant to give his name out of
It all started so innocently, didn't it?
Yeah. He took down the phone number of the school, and that same evening arranged some after-school tutoring for his daughter. At first, it seemed as though the new teacher was really good, was a really good find. However, the motherly woman then started to ask his daughter personal questions about friends and family, and referred the girl, who had just turned 18, to a colleague for life coaching. And then, despite the fact that the girl was now doing well in school, recommended that she come 3 times a week instead of just once. Starting to sound like Shrinks. This all seemed suspicious to the girl's father. Was this really just about ironing out a few problems in reading and writing? Spurred on by growing doubts, he called Sabine Reed at Essen Sect Info Advice Center. The center was well acquainted with the teacher and her colleagues.
Where did they come up with these names?
I know. Who the center views as high-ranking Scientologists. German experts on sex are now warning that the organization, which spans the globe, is currently making a big effort to infiltrate the German education market. Even the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution has noticed these activities. At the recent presentation of the Constitution Report in 2005, Scientology was mentioned as establishing itself very conspicuously in youth work. Now, this is twisted. I mean, it's not like, you know, people are going by their own free will to a Scientology center and taking a personality test or something. These people are disguising themselves as
teachers,
a help center, like not probably much unlike the Sylvan centers that we have here in the States.
It is bait and switch, essentially.
Yeah, it is crooked. They're luring these children in, and then they're probably going to try to brainwash them into whatever.
It's pseudoscience.
But, I mean, how... It's just so crooked. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
How much does it cost?
It doesn't say anything about cost, but God only knows. I mean, a parent, if it's going to help their child do better in school, I'm sure are willing to spend whatever they can, but that is just so incredibly crooked. Scientology.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Yeah, man. It's dirt. This one comes out of the
silky dirt, dude.
The craziness that is women's cults.
Like
Wiccan and
you mean
Wiccan.
Men aren't allowed in this?
No, this is the women only goddess.
So listen up, Vanessa.
Wiccan.
Oh my
yes.
God!
With the musky smell of incense lingering in the air, fairgoers ventured between booths selling Wiccan ritual items and clothing, books, statues, instruments, candles at the 20th annual Long Beach Woman Spirit Summer Solstice
Major
Fair.
Issues.
It celebrates the turning of the year to a new season, says Joanne Estria, vendor, coordinator, and one of the original founders of the Long Beach Women Spirit. It's a place to have people who are supportive of the feminine and goddess movement. The goddess movement is...
He must not know who I am. I'm the juggernaut, bitch! I'm hitting
the The goddess movement is all about loving each other and loving the earth. 75 vendors participated this summer. I think the fair is great, 18-year-old Shanta Harris.
Hey, where are the
Harris.
White women at?
Probably at the Goddess Fair.
The Goddess Fair.
According to Astrea, the vendors come
where?
From...
According to where?
Astrea.
Astrea.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't you want a name like Astrea?
Yes.
Or Atreyu.
It's a beautiful name.
Atreyu? Isn't that from the Neverending Story?
Ding, ding, ding. Quick
okay,
on the,
that's
you're
a...
quick on it there.
Retarded.
They almost had you, Vanessa, till you sniffed out the bullshit.
According to Estrella, the vendors come from across Southern California and Las Vegas, and the items they bring represent the theme of representing the goddess. It is the most beautiful event that we do, said Didi Pina,
What? Dee Dee Pina. Dee Dee Pina.
Said Dee Dee Pina, alchemy store vendor who has had a booth at the fair for the past 6 years.
So whose booth would that be?
Dee Dee Pina.
Aside from say it in a plural.
Dee Dee penis.
Nice guy. Let's do it.
One, two, three, eat it. Aside from vendors, the fair offered live entertainment and a raffle with items donated by each vendor. The fair featured entertainment from Kahina Viale and her belly dance troupe, Banat El Kamar. Viale has been performing at the fair since the function was Fell's Heart.
Patrons performing sexual acts.
First held at its location 18 years ago.
Is this like Wonder Woman type stuff?
Yeah, I guess so. These are crazy.
Crazy at the altar of Wonder Woman.
These are the crazy women that can't get on.
Evil.
So you think you can dance?
These are a bunch of ugly women that can't get laid, so they get angry and they create their own goddess or whatever. And now they just sit around and bash men and talk about how wonderful the goddess is. And
Wait a minute. Just because some women might disagree with whatever's going on doesn't make them ugly and can't get men. Just means that they don't agree with something. Albeit some are pretty ugly, but not all of them.
Takes different strokes to move the world.
We'll listen to that, and I'm glad you have an opinion. We'll take that into account, but these women are probably large, fat, and ugly. Go do your dances and spin in circles and worship your goddess.
Constant and rubbing against my manhood.
And leave us alone. And that is cult news.
End of story.
All right, Bill, thank you for that. There's a lot of crazy shit out in the world.
Yes, there is.
Oh, God! Oh, God!
All right, Bill, how about some DVDs?
Ow! Woo!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs, baby!
Well, Steven can do that, and yet he can't do Super Chat.
I'm playing.
All right. These are DVDs for June 26th, 2006, and boy, oh boy, do we have a load of shit.
All right.
Starting from the top of the list, if you just can't get enough of knitting and crocheting, there is a series of DVDs coming out called The Art of Knitting and Crocheting, Volume 1 and 2. Also,
I want The Art of Cross-Stitching.
A series of crocheting DVDs called Fashions in Motion, Stitches in Motion, and I Can't Believe I'm Crocheting.
I Can't Believe I'm Not Crocheting? What?
Yes, you can't believe I'm watching this video.
Now, Vanessa, you've been
I can't
been
believe
known...
I'm not eating. I can't believe it's not butter.
Vanessa, you knit from time to time, right?
I don't know how to knit. I know how to crochet.
You crochet. Now, would you be interested in any of these DVDs?
I wouldn't buy them, but if they came on TV, maybe I'd get some ideas or something. I'd buy them.
All right, I'll keep that in mind this Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to correct myself. Those only come out on the 26th. Tuesday is the 27th.
Oh,
so the rest
Billy.
Of these, the rest of these DVDs are for June 27th, 2006.
Ah, okay.
We'll
keep those in mind.
Yes, thank you. Here is a show that was on FX called 30 Days. It was created by
Morgan Spurlock.
Who did the...
Yes, right. Supersize Me.
And I guess he has different people live as other people for 30 days.
Right.
And I'm sure it's wonderfully enlightening, but I could give a shit.
Yeah, what it is you spend 30 days... Mm-hmm. Or say I'm a Christian, I spend 30 days living with a Muslim family or
You're not a criminal. You spend 30 days in jail.
One episode was a homophobe living 30 days in the gayest district of San Francisco with a gay man.
Good Lord.
It's an interesting show. I found it entertaining. My favorite episode was when they went to live on a farm with all these hippies and learned to use alternative fuel sources and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Oh,
and
I saw that one.
They have the right idea, but they go a little too extreme. Like, I don't wear deodorant. But it's like, you know what? You need to. I don't care. It was invented for a reason, and you smell like a pig.
Oh, well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
But it is a good show.
Next DVD is Annapolis, a film starring Tyrese Gibson, James Franco, and Jordana Brewster.
I love her.
Well, she's cute. But the Navy had some issues with this movie and did not want to participate.
You know what I heard? The main issue with this film was that it's horrible.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Vanessa was telling me it got like an average of like 3 stars out of 10 or something like that.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not a good movie.
It's not good.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
A&E releases their biographies on DVD. One of them that's released this week is a biography on the Earp brothers. I love Tombstone.
Oh, so did I. Genius.
Anything that I can like know about the actual history.
Except for the Kasdan movie.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp.
Man, wow. That with Kevin Costner, that was horrible.
Wow.
But I'm interested in this one, and if anybody else is, you might want to Netflix it, because I love that whole, the history of it all.
Yeah.
And wasn't exactly historically accurate, I don't think.
Nah, who cares? It's
entertaining. But it was a damn good movie.
Yes, sir.
I don't know who would buy this, because it's just crap. I guess in the mid to late 60s, they tried to do The Honeymooners again.
Oh, yeah.
But it was shot in color. So you've got The Color Honeymooners, Collection 1. So I don't even know why anybody would want that. I don't know why Jackie Gleason would want to try and recapture the magic that was the original Honeymooners. But
you just got to let those things go.
Yeah, some people just can't let it go.
That is one big pile of shit.
Speaking of Jehovah Witnesses, Damon Wayans still standing. This must this is his stand-up routine.
Wow.
That I guess is from this year.
Who let the Wayans in Hollywood is all I want to know. Have you guys seen the commercial to that new movie? The CGI baby with one of the Wayans brothers on his face?
Yes.
I thought White Chicks was the worst idea I ever saw for a movie. Then this came out.
Little Man.
Who would have thought that the people that were responsible for I'm Gonna Get You Sucka would turn into like making absolute shite?
It started off so well and then ended up so bad.
Yeah,
and I think it's when they found the Kingdom Hall is what happened.
Supposedly, Damon Wayans has a new sketch comedy show
Kiss
that's
going
to be on Showtime this year.
Nice. I can't wait to
not watch that. Yeah. Why don't you give it a chance? Come on. Maybe it's good. Uh-huh. See, it comes back around, doesn't it?
It's not the same thing.
What happened to them?
Let's see if Steven feels the same way about this film. Failure to Launch.
Oh, hell
starring
yes.
Matthew McConaughey, Kathy Bates, and hero, Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, I from what I hear, that's a pretty big stinker, too. I think some of the reviews were that Failure to Launch is actually a pretty good name for the movie.
Struggling.
You know, that never helps, does it, when the name of your movie... You know, helps them with their Variety article about how the movie bombed. Failure to Launch. Looks like they got it right. Failure to Get Any Box Office.
for you Family Affair fans.
Oh, you're looking at one right here, pal.
Mr. French is back in action with Family Affair Season 1 on DVD.
Oh, nice. Hell yes.
I always thought, like, when I watched
yes!
the...
stupid.
When I watched the repeats as a kid, I always thought the older sister was hot.
Yeah, I did too. What, Sissy was her name or something like that?
I think so, yeah. People that like Joe Rogan and stupid television can pick up Fear Factor the first season.
Pleasuring himself.
I love Rogan.
Guess what? I can watch those in reruns on regular TV.
Turns to channel 39. It's on all day. Jesus Christ. How is this show still on? It sucks. Why is anyone watching it? That's what I want to know. I don't like Fear
Factor.
Some
of it's not fear. Some of it's just gross
factor. Yeah, the thing is, okay, it's called Fear Factor. Oh, you're scared you won't eat this cow brain. No, it's because I have common fucking sense. I'm not going to eat a cow brain. It has nothing to do with fear. Shove it up your ass.
Now, they need to do, like, psychological profiles, and people who have, like, all fears of heights do everything on heights,
I'm going to create a show called Psycho Factor. We're going
to
set you on fire.
I'm $5,000 to eat a rotten cheese pizza. this movie...
Man, that's cold.
You wouldn't think it would get good reviews starring Vin Diesel, but it actually has gotten great reviews. It's a Sidney Lumet film called Find Me Guilty.
Oh, where, yeah, that's where he's the nanny. I love that.
No, that's the pacifier, you ass. Find Me Guilty is, it's a story about when the police arrest the 20 members of the Lucchese crime family, and they offer the character of Jackie D. It's like D. Norscosio or something. I know I'm getting it wrong. Somebody's going to kill me.
Norscosio.
But
just throw it out fast, like with confidence.
Yeah.
No one will question.
That's who Vin Diesel plays, and he rejects the offer. And
he's no rat.
He's no rat, and he decides to defend himself during the trial. And it's supposed to be a really good movie. You might want to check it out. I can't say you should buy it. But it's got really, really, really good reviews.
I remember reading some reviews when it came out, and it is definitely one I'll check out.
Plus, it's got Peter Dinklage, and I'm sure he's being used to his ability in this film. If you haven't yet picked
not
up Grandma's...
Thank you, Foggy. Thank you.
If you haven't yet picked up Grandma's Boy... You might want to pick it up in one of these two packs.
Jesus Christ.
Grandma's Boy with Club Dread, or Grandma's Boy and Dude Where's My Car.
Ah, great.
Oh, Lordy.
Great packages there.
Well, Club Dread is okay.
Club Dread was okay, but it certainly wasn't the best film those guys have put out.
Yeah, Broken Lizard will hopefully make up for it with the Beer Games movie.
That looks promising.
It looks really funny.
This is for the women who are obsessed with Dr. McDreamy on Grey's Anatomy. This is a TV film called JFK Reckless Youth that was made in year 2000 starring Patrick Dempsey. I've never seen it, and I really don't care to see it, but it's $7. So, hey.
It's a bargain.
All right, Vanessa, pick that up.
Get your groove on.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It's a bargain. It's $7.
This is for you fans of the incredibly annoying person who won't go away, Tyler Perry, who does these urban comedies, I guess, that, like, play at the Apollo or something. I don't know. But his film, Media's Family Reunion, is coming to DVD. So if you like Tyler Perry, run out and buy this piece.
If you like guys who dress in drag.
Yeah, and act like an old black woman.
Wow, I will not be picking this up.
It's like, you know, drag went out back in the late 60s, 70s with Monty Python.
They're releasing the Masters of Horror series on DVD. I believe they did that for Showtime.
Yes, sir.
And they're doing a two-pack of, I think these are both Jonathan Landis.
I miss
Landis.
Two-pack. Two-pack
Jonathan...
forever.
Shut up. Two-pack forever.
Thug Life, bitch.
They're releasing Jonathan Landis's Dear Woman
short. Oh, man, that is an effed up episode.
And Lucky McGee's Sick Girl. I haven't seen either of them, but I've heard that the Masters of Horror series is actually pretty good.
You know what? I would definitely compare it to Tales from the Crypt. Kind of, there's some horror there. There's some cheesy quality, kind of like. Remember how Tales from the Crypt had a comedic, dark comedic?
Yeah,
sure.
There's definitely those tones.
I loved
Tales
from the Crypt, especially the Zemeckis episodes. Those were always really good.
Yeah, I'd definitely check it out. Some were a little hardcore, but can't wait to check it out.
For you fans of Monk season 4,
yes, I'm a Shaloub.
And if Shaloubian? You're
I'm a Shaloubian.
If you're a total Shaloubian, why not pick up Monk, the Obsessive Compulsive Collection, seasons 1 through 4?
Yes, dust free.
For only $114.
Does it come with a cleaning
bag?
Whoa,
$114?
Yeah.
You're a... Nuh-uh.
That's 4 seasons, dude.
That's a ripoff, dude. It's on from USA. Oh, I guess I got to pay the bills over there. So
it's like from USA.
It's a cheap-ass channel over there.
Next DVD, I hated this freaking show. And I know they're coming out with a movie. Strangers with Candy, the complete series. Amy Sedaris is the most unfunny woman on the face of the earth. I cannot stand her. Yet David Letterman thinks the sun rises and sets in her ass. So he just gives
exactly
her money
Dante's
to make
Inferno,
this shit.
Close enough.
So did Conan likes her too.
Yeah, I can't stand her.
Steven loves her though, but yet he hates her.
I would so do her dressed up as that Strangers with Candy chick.
Good lord, man. Last DVD, and there's two versions, and or not two versions, but two releases. Ultraviolet.
That doesn't make sense.
Yes!
Oh, yes! I heard this is awesome. I heard this was as good as Annapolis.
But what cracks me up about this is you can buy it alone, or you can buy it with Resident Evil.
Nice.
Why don't you go eat a decrepit piece of crap?
Yeah, I mean, that's like throwing away $26. You would get more from that $26 if you just gave it to a homeless. But in case you really loved Ultraviolet, you know, the original is only 87 minutes. You could buy the unrated extended cut, which is 94 minutes.
Yes, so yes, and yes.
It's packed with more shit.
What happened? With this director Kurt Wimmer, is it just a ridiculous piece of crap, or
it's a horrible film that it's like he went back and tried to make Equilibrium again.
What I've heard is it's almost like, here's my real Hollywood studios. This is what I can do. Look at all these cool action sequences. There's no coherent story, no, but look at all these cool, you know, choreography and all this stuff that's completely incoherent, but hey, check it out.
So like I was saying, you can buy the original theatrical cut that runs 87 minutes, or you can pick up the Ultraviolet unrated extended cut that runs 94 minutes.
I'm getting the extended cut.
Vanessa, which copy will you be buying?
Neither.
Now, Vanessa, you saw this in the theater, right?
Yes.
Were you absolutely shocked by it, or...
I wanted to sleep through most of it. I was very upset because I was hoping, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, he did Equilibrium. It can't be that bad. Maybe he'll bring some of that around. It'll surprise me. And no, it was horrible.
Was it just like watching a continuous train wreck that just wouldn't stop?
I honestly didn't care if she lived or died. I really didn't care. I just couldn't. They had no character development whatsoever. You really didn't give a flying crap.
Was it visually stunning?
I guess. My eyes were drooping so badly I couldn't pay attention.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Vanessa. Bye. Hold Vanessa, where'd you go?
What a colossal ripoff.
All right, thanks a lot, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. Hey, everybody. Didn't he do a good job?
Thank you.
right, everybody. That was Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 41. I'd like to thank you for joining us. Feel free to leave no feedback whatsoever. Thank you. I'm kidding, of course. You want to leave feedback, and you want to call this number right now. 1-206-202-3491. Operators are standing by, and they will direct you to our voicemail basket, and there you will leave a message for us, and you could win Annapolis on DVD. That's right.
Signed by PCZ Steven.
Yes! You will win an 8x10 glossy of PCZ Steven if you call this number now.
Glamour shots.
Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us an email. Come on, you know you want to. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. Isn't it a great place to visit, Steven?
It is a great place to visit.
You can find our forum. You could leave messages.
Unlike me last night, I couldn't find anything.
If you would like to go to our forum, you could learn a lot about stuff. It's awesome.
And I would like to thank Lover of Monkeys in the NIM episode 40 post on the forum for saying I talk too much.
Huh?
I know. There's a post in the forum from a new listener who said he just started listening on episode 39. He says, I have a question. Is Bill the host? He talks a lot if he's not. No offense, Bill. And I would like to thank Lord of the Losers for hanging in with us all night last night during the chat. I ended up coming in sometime around 12:30 Eastern, and he hung with us until well after 2:30 a.m.
Right. We had a full packed chat room last night talking about.
Yeah, it was great. We had a ton of people.
We're talking about all sorts of stuff. You know, Big Brother,
sex,
Dennis Leary.
I tried logging in around 10:30.
You weren't welcome, Steven. We were talking Dennis Leary. You were barred from that. I was very offended by everything I read.
It was a very fun chat last night. It went a long time, so props to Lord of the Losers for sticking around.
So anyway, thanks a lot, everybody. I love you.
Love your monkeys and kiss my ass.
Lover of monkeys. Oh, Bill, you don't mean that.
I'm playing.
You sick bastard!
Now this is podcasting.